for a ride, kids. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want to hear.
I want to hear.
The magnitude.
The magnitude.
Of your plan for me.
Of your plan for me.
When I get off the case.
When I get off the case.
Of controlling my future.
Of controlling my future.
And dictating.
And dictating.
To my Heavenly Father,
to my Heavenly Father,
what's the best for me?
What's the best for me?
Because I know better.
Because I know better.
Jesus, help us. Some people refuse to pray in tongues because they can't understand. That's the one thing that God has given me that I know, that I know, that I know, that if I didn't have that ability to counteract the darkness out of my spirit, man, I would not be alive today. So you say, now, what does that have to do with the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the Ark of the Covenant had a cover. Anybody know what the Ark of the Cover actually represents?
Mercy.
Huh? It's the mercy seat. It's Jesus. It is Jesus on top of all these legalistic situations. The manna, which really was a complaint that God had to provide for them to what? Why was the manna brought forth?
They were in the desert, they had nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm. Could they have survived without eating?
No.
Is that a truth?
No. They were survived. God was with them.
Yeah.
They,
food.
I think the manna was just like a symbol.
Yeah.
That he was with them, but they would have been fine without the manna.
Yes, they would have. He would have supplied,
right.
Because didn't he bring all kinds of birds by the wind? Because now they wanted meat. So manna was a gift from God, and it became what?
Despised.
Huh?
Yeah.
Despised.
Despised,
hated, and a point of complaint.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The staff that budded, why did they reject Aaron?
Because they thought they were better.
I'm equal.
Yeah.
Right.
I know, just as much as that guy. So it's a rebellion against God's chosen vessel to do a work that was designed by Aaron to do, and no one else in the community could do it. Mm-hmm. Now we've got the Ten Commandments. What were they designed to do?
Law.
Giving a set of rules to live by, because they said to the Lord, they said, didn't say it to Moses. They said it to the Lord. The Lord was on the mountain that morning or that day. The mountain was shaking, right? The fire was on the mountain. Why was the fire there? To represent his holiness?
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke to them. Yes?
Yes.
And they said, whoa! Don't talk to us, talk to Moses. After all, he spent a month up there and we thought he was dead. So they rejected the Lord.
And we do the exact same thing.
Thank you. So now, all three articles go inside, right? So that they can no longer be seen. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
They can carry it with poles, but they're not to take the cover off. They're to bring the blood of animals and sprinkle it on the Day of Atonement once a year. That's how they survive. Are you ready? Just close your eyes. Say, don't look inside the ark. One more time. Don't look inside the ark. Now, I've got a surprise for you. Who is the ark now?
We are.
Ah! How often do you look inside?
Oh, that's good.
Oh. How often do you look inside the ark to find the solution?
Oh, God, is that good. Yes. Come on. You are preaching.
Shaki Herate. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins.
Yes.
And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So he's trying to take your vision off yourself and looking at all your failures and all your shortcomings and all your weaknesses and trying to survive them without Jesus.
Amen.
Some of these days you're going to realize he's the mercy that keeps you and me alive.
Yes.
Amen. Now I quote Pastor Prince. In the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the people who tried to look inside the ark were struck dead. What was inside the ark that brought judgment to those who looked into them? The Bible tells us that the ark held two tablets of the Ten Commandments, the pot of manna and Aaron's rod. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. These items were tokens of man's rebellion. I repeat, these items were token of man's rebellion. The two tablets of the Ten Commandment represent man's rejection of God and his standard. The manna represents man's rejection of God's provision. And Aaron's rod, man's rejection of God's appointed priesthood. God did not want to look at these tokens of rebellion. He wanted to be merciful to his people. So he instructed them to place the items in the ark and to cover the ark with its mercy seat, which is also the place where the blood of animal sacrifice was sprinkled. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle on the mercy seat the blood of the animals that had been sacrificed. The two cherubims on the mercy seat stood as guardians of God's righteousness and his holiness. Angelic presence. Keep that in mind. Representing God's eyes. Two. They looked at the blood on the mercy seat, and as long as the blood was there, the entire nation of Israel was forgiven. God's judgment passed over them, and they were blessed for another year. Leviticus 16. Today, the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat is not the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious eternal blood of the Son of God. Hebrews 9:12. Jesus is our mercy seat, for he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The word propitiation is in the original Greek text is the same word as mercy seat. Romans 3:25, Hebrews 9:5. Beloved, God does not see your sins and count them against you because he sees his Son's blood. He sees his Son's perfect work that has more than satisfied him. God does not want you to see your sins either. He does not want you to look inside the ark by focusing on your sins.
Amen.
He wants you to focus on Christ and his finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on your sins. Focus on Christ and his finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Ha. yesterday morning. I'm preparing to go to the leaders' meeting. I finished shaving, and gonna go downstairs and take a shower. And as I'm leaving the bathroom, I hear, "I'm gonna use you today." Well, that's kind of a neat word, you know, "I'm gonna use you today." How many know that you have an attitude when God is about to use you about, "Am I ready?" Well, it didn't hit that hard because I'm used to the agreement from darkness that tries to stifle whatever he wants to do with me. So, off I went. And didn't give the thought. Didn't have a scripture, didn't have any words that came. So I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want." Because there was no real focus. Approximately 35, 40 minutes into the service, a lot of different individuals having something to declare. Some worship, very nice, no complaints. And then he took a hold of my mouth. And when he did, the anointing hit. I've been going to leadership meetings since the 1980s. It used to be in Connecticut. This one happened to be in West Springfield. After the words came out, which lasted for quite a while, the basic message was, stop focusing on the garbage and keep our eyes on the Lord and not on anything else. And when I say the anointing was there, I was able to open my eyes because my eyes were closed during the time that the words were coming out. And I'm not taking credit. But I wanted to, let's say, my flesh gets in my way, no different than any of you.
Amen.
And when my eyes opened, I saw the leader face down on the ground, weeping. It got so quiet in that church that you could have heard a pin drop because the Holy Spirit was having his way. But the basic truth was this. He wanted to change the course of the meetings. He wanted to change the course of the people's agenda who come with their own idea of what God should do for the Pioneer Valley. Amen. He wanted to make an impact so dramatic, and he happened to use me. So that's, you know, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is this. I had a hard time with my emotions. I think I used up my Kleenex or whatever you call them, problems with the face. But what I am saying is this. He wasn't done with me yet because he said to me this morning, "When are you going to stop looking at your weaknesses? When are you going to stop looking inside your ark? Because I still am the mercy seat." Jesus did not change his name or his nature. He and his blood is still covering everything in me that was of rebellion. He's covering everything in me that rebelled against God's plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Will you pay attention to it? Or will you continue to do as you please in order to be comfortable with yourself?
Oh, Jesus.
See, when I'm comfortable with me, he's not in control.
That's for sure.
When I'm happy with my results, it's because I have taken over his position as Lord of my life. But we don't want to be answering to lordships, because that's old-fashioned. After all, the King of England transferred his power to a woman. Why was the principle of land ownership from the time of the Romans and the time of Babylon focused on taking over the world under the wrong spirit? It starts with this ark. This body is designed and created for his well-being and his residency. Paul Keith Davis had an awesome message about the fourth dimension, and it was awesome. Did anybody notice that there's a scripture missing? Yeah. He quoted, and I said, Lord, what's the issue? He said, the issue, oh, I wrote it down, it's 1 John, about the fourth dimension, the seed of life that's in us. It's also confirmed in 1 Peter. And you know, we live in the earth, and we think it's the earth realm that is the beginning and end of all things for us. And by the time I get to heaven, I'm going to have joy everlasting. Well, if I remember correctly, this mercy seat should be here. Over my head. Over how I think. Over how I respond. Over how I act towards myself. Has his blood covered me? Has his blood covered my sin?
Yes.
Completely.
So when I'm complaining about these weaknesses that are still trying to do their thing, what do I do? What am I doing?
He was pressing that on me. That was exactly what I was getting last night.
All right.
Very strongly. It's done. It's finished. There is no sin.
Yeah. Yet, you're going to find that some of the old habits that you and I have carry us for a few moments, and then we see ourselves, and then we get upset, and we start this whole routine.
Yep. All over again. Yep.
What have you done? You switched your vision from him to you or yourself. Oh my God, I made it wrong. I did it wrong. And as you're crying, God is saying, wake up. Wake up. Have you provided the insight into your own heart that I have already covered all this stuff that you're worried about? Have you taken that into account? And I'll be honest with you, I fail miserably many, many times. And when I fail, my whole emotional makeup takes a ride. And while I'm on that ride of self-pity, anger at my body, anger at my soul, anger at my emotions, etc., etc., can I then be doing whatever my Lord has requested of me?
No.
Why?
You're in charge.
Thank you. You took over. So, are we still fighting that cover? Are we still so nosy that we have to get in there? And remember, anybody that looked inside died. When you look inside and you look at your sin, what happens to you?
You die.
You say, oh my God. It's not hopeless, but it feels hopeless because you see, you're looking at the pattern of the past as an example of your future. So I'm driving this morning and I hear an old song. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we shall become the sons of God. Come on. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That I would become a son of God. That I would become a son of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Put your stuff down and get up. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we shall become the sons of God. That we shall become the sons of God. Do it again. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we shall become the sons of God. Shall become. That we shall become the sons of God. Put your hand on your heart. Say, behold what manner of love my Father has given unto me. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me. That I shall become a son of God. That I shall become a son of God. Do it again. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me. That I shall become a son of God. Son of God. Sing it again and convince me. Behold what manner of love my Father has given unto me. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me. That I shall become a son of God. 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 Take a hold of your wife. Behold what manner of love. Come on, join me. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we shall become the corporate son. That we shall become the sons of God. Do it again. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we shall become the Son of God. That we shall become the Son of God. It's a corporate son he wants. It's a son that's going to function with the little piece of you and you and all of us put together as one. The minute you think you've got it made on your own, forget it. Forget it. So if I've shattered some of your expectations and showed you some of your mistakes this morning, welcome to the club. Now I want you to pray. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
without your grace,
without your grace,
we're not going to make it.
We're not going to make it.
I need your grace.
I need your grace
to get a new insight.
To get a new insight.
I need to see.
I need to see
that this mercy seat,
that this mercy seat
is still on top of me.
Is still on top of me.
His blood has washed away.
Has washed away
all my shortcomings.
All my shortcomings.
All my criticalness.
All my criticalness
of myself.
Of myself.
It's got to stop.
It's got to stop.
And it stops now.
And it stops now.
I'm choosing
right now
to forgive myself for the past.
To forgive myself for the past.
And choosing to receive that.
And choosing to receive that.
That total forgiveness.
That total forgiveness.
It covers it all.
It covers it all.
Not with a little chunk here.
Not a little chunk here.
Or another left over there.
Or another left over there.
Yes.
But completely forgiven.
But completely forgiven.
Of all my sin.
Of all my sin.
I give you praise, my Father.
I give you praise, my Father.
For the blood.
For the blood
of the one and only Lamb,
of the one and only Lamb
who took care of me,
who took care of me
even before I had any value,
even before I had any value to you.
Because when I said yes, to his blood,
I became
a brand new creation.
The seeds of life
that were imparted to me came from my father's sperm. And I'm alive.
And
I'm going to be living
for his glory.
Not focused on the old.
Not focused on my sin.
But totally focused on him.
I will
receive him as Lord.
And check in.
Every time I make a decision.
Because
his favor is going to be on me.
His favor is on me now.
He hasn't given up on me. And it's time for me to agree with him. No more self-rejection. Hallelujah. What's inside? That's of the old. It's covered by the mercy seat. Every time I try to agree
with
self-condemnation,
I'll see a vision.
His blood covering me. Just like he sees now. The mercy seat is well on top. Of man's rebellion. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.